The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here. Thank you very much, Mr. Engineer, for that smooth segue. Don't forget, right, as we speak right now, right, be a part of the conversation. There is a forum going on right now, Government House. Of course, you know the government, the Community Business Forum series is an initiative of the Office of the Governor, the Virgin Islands Economic Development Authority, and the Virgin Islands Department of Tourism in partnership with the Royal Caribbean Group to help USVI businesses adapt to and innovate in a new COVID environment. Join us being the government and this group, for an open discussion with Royal Caribbean Group, VI business leaders and decision makers about being ready for what's next in 2021. Also hear from local entrepreneurs about how they survive in this COVID economy. Everyone is encouraged to share their thoughts and best ideas. You could go to the website, right? www.vi.gov, and you could click on the link, or you could call Government House now, 340-774-0001, for more information. Okay, so we're trying to see how we could reestablish some normalcy here in the Virgin Islands. Regular contributor Ronnie Russell has joined me. Yeah, you know, I know the our engineer, he just make things happen so easily here. Good morning, Ronnie. What's up?
Good morning, Neville, and good morning to your wonderful audience.
Yeah, man. So, Ronnie, you are radio host in a number of different forums, so you know what I'm dealing with here in terms of incorporating a number of different things as we deal with everyday life here in the territory. This particular initiative and the government's part, to me, is a good preemptive move. We just don't want to bring back the cruise ships into the territory. We really got to go through a mental retransformation in this case, in terms of getting, because it's been a year, we haven't had any cruise ships, and the territory, the Virgin Islands, we've been known for being a cruise ship haven for God knows how long. So this is important for us.
It's an awesome approach to trying to get back to some kind of what they call normalcy, but I believe it's a new paradigm, because normalcy, we can't go back to how it was, Neville, because the pandemic changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we have realized some interesting developments and maybe considered benefits during this period of time, and we need to meet and most importantly plan. You know,
mm-hmm.
Plan how we want approach, you know, this new paradigm that the pandemic caused in America and across the globe. So we got to look at it as an opportunity, as tragic as it was, Neville. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it was tragic.
I seen it as an opportunity.
Yeah, but I you know something, you just touched on something there. Maybe this was a necessary setback for us to recalibrate. I mean, I don't want to talk like that because people were hurting, and, you know, I was just looking at the testimony yesterday. We still got 9.5 million people on the mainland who ain't walking and all that stuff. But sometimes you need setbacks to actually find out where you are, where you were, and where you really should be, not where you want to be.
Yeah. I believe we have to use it and turn it around as an opportunity, as tragic, I said, as it's been. And, you know, it's getting... With the mass shootings, we in crisis. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the economy is one thing, and, you know, money and the flow of jobs and, you know, everything is good in its own time. But we facing a crisis in America, and we facing it here too. So, you know, it's a real serious one that we can't bury our heads in the sand and say it don't exist. That shooting in Colorado and the one in Atlanta should wake up America to a different reality.
But we're hearing, Rania, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we keep hearing, I don't know if it's a legal excuse or if it's real, it ain't for me to judge from afar, but the mental aspect of leading up to these, you know, I don't even want to use the word, I mean, these tragedies. I mean, you lose 18 and 10 people, one a police officer who is out there to protect the people. This is wild.
And you know, you have to, you know, I was doing some research, Neville, because anybody who live in this environment, especially here in the Virgin Islands and St. Croix, have to be concerned about gun violence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I did some real reading and research last night when we were coordinating to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the research point to the proliferation of guns in America. You can't have a state that you could carry a gun in any place and be within the laws of that state. And then
look at the kind of weapon running, man. Jeez, I'm...
Yes. So the gun situation in America has been identified by many of the researchers as the main problem promoting violence, and a lot of them are in domestic issues. And you and I know that over the years, a lot of people we know, one was a secretary for me, Nancy Parija.
Mm-hmm.
One was Butch Wilson's son, Malik Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go down the line
with domestic issues. The young man, Dave Clowden, who lost his life there in the market 3 weeks ago. He was by my house that afternoon, doing work by my house that afternoon. I mean, it touching all of us.
Yeah. So we got to bring our heads together. And we could begin by eliminating all of these ridiculous gun laws across the United States and making it, you know, difficult to get a licensed gun, and more importantly, making it difficult for our community to sort of turn the other face, don't look at it that gun violence is a problem. Go to the community, the churches, everybody got to contribute, Neville. But everybody got to be part of this dialogue, because it is plaguing the whole society. So I believe, you know, that everybody got to contribute to the solution. And, you know, I will contribute as best as I could, but I think
you do that when you join me here, and we're trying to find some solutions. Of course, you know, we got you. In order to find solutions, you go truly identify the problem. You have spoken about the proliferation of guns. One of the things, right, in reading the story about the troubled murderer in Colorado, apparently he's of Arab descent, he's from Syria, right, 21 years old, and apparently, you know, he had problems from in school. And they said when he was 14, he was having issues when he was in middle school and high school and all that stuff, right? But Ronnie, I saw a picture where there's this man in at a counter. I don't know if it was a grocery store, a Walmart, what have you. And he got his AR-15 strapped behind his back.
Yeah.
Right? Ronnie, we talk about bullying in school. A man walking around with an AR-15 strap around his back is a form of bullying, because you intimidating people who ain't got nothing. Even if you ain't doing none to them, just the sight of him with that kind of artillery walking around common folk in a store is a form of bullying. That's intimidation.
Exactly. And the gun lobby, you know, you don't want to cast blame, but you could set the stage for things to happen by lobbying against laws that would prevent people from carrying guns like that. And the type of guns, Neville, it ain't a rifle that you're going to shoot a deer with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's an assault weapon built for war.
Yeah, man.
And they could, and these states and these legislators, they, you know, the responsibility is across the board. But these states that have these, you know, freedom to carry and whatever they call it, to tote a gun, to hold a gun, to get a license easy, to get ammunition, they, in essence, are to blame for the mass murders over the years of innocent people who go into a grocery store to buy grocery and your family member end up dead.
Imagine that. And then when the police arrest him, he got on his drawers. He naked to the point where he got on his drawers. I remember when we were at our night office where we were talking politics, and we saw the police walking with him, and he had some blood on his right leg, and he was in his drawers, no shirt on, no shoes, naked. Got on his, I mean, we have multiple issues that playing a part in why we are losing our civilization as we have known it to be. We are truly getting into an uncivilized setting. And Ronnie, I believe, right? And this is a segue into a part of the discussion that I think you're going to enjoy. I know we got a couple of minutes on this first segment. Ronnie, when people who are educated and learned are looked up to because of that education, and when they start behaving irrationally, then it impacts everybody. A perfect example is Sidney Powell, this lady who, after the November general election, when they counted all the votes and Biden won, and then she started with all these crazy accusations and referencing Hugo Chavez, who died so many years ago, right? As some part of some grand scheme to undermine the election. And here she is 4 months later telling the court, no reasonable person should have believed what she said. Ronnie, this lawlessness and just reckless behavior is part of the reason why the regular folk, the lay people who don't have this education and these titles, are acting irrationally when they see this on TV. They start thinking, wait a minute, this is a free for all. Let me go for mine.
Exactly. And that has been created by news medias that don't value the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Elected officials who believe anything goes as long as I protect my votes and I protect my base, as they call it. And more importantly, if it's going to make me money, I could do anything.
Well, you just touched on it. You touched on the aspect there. This about money, you know, Ronnie. The NRA is about money, you know.
Yeah, of course. And so that the Supreme Court decisions that wind and destroy the democracy that we knew by allowing money to infiltrate and skew the whole voting cycle in America, because you could spend any amount of money to sway people and persuade them, and you could use the ads and the most persuasive psychological aspects of the human mind, because you know you could sway the human mind with certain things. If you do it often enough and you do it with a lot of fervor,
mm-hmm.
you could do ads play on the human mind. They know that, and they know that money could get them there, and they did it to the American public, and now the whole public is confused and don't know where to turn for true solutions to the real problems.
Well, we don't want the public to think that we are against the right to bear arms, because we're not. We definitely support that. It is the behavior, Ronnie, that we're talking about. Not your right. Your right is inalienable and granted pursuant to a constitution, and we have no problem with that. Our biggest issue is the extreme behavior that is taking place and causing problems, and we're going to pick up with that when we come back after this break. We are regular contributor and local lawyer Ronnie Russell joining us. And Ronnie, I want to give your friend Russell Pete some time involved in the conversation. What is St. Thomas, right? Is he in St. Thomas?
Yes.
We'll get him back as well. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know you may be eligible for credit on your Via mobile, internet, or landline service through the Lifeline program? Lifeline is a federal program for qualifying low-income customers that lowers the monthly cost of important communication services. If you receive Medicaid, SNAP, housing assistance, or other government aid, a Lifeline credit may be available to you.
Contact Via at 340-777-8492 or visit the website via.vi/lifeline to see if you qualify.
DPNR State Historic Preservation Office is soliciting applications for historic preservation projects at properties damaged by Hurricanes Irma and Maria. Properties must be listed in or eligible for listing in the National Register of Historic Places to be able to apply for assistance. This program will prioritize historic contributing properties located within the historic districts of Charlotte-Amalie, Christiansted, Frederickstead, and Cruz Bay. Award amounts may range from $10,000 to $200,000 with no match required. An application package can be requested by sending an email to historic.recovery@dpnr.vi.gov or by applying online at dpnr.vi.gov. Or call the State Historic Preservation Office at 340-776-8605 for more information. The final deadline for applications has been extended to Wednesday, March 31st.
And we are back here on Analyze This. And Ronnie, I was just, when we close out, I was talking about the right to bear arms. You wanted to chime in on that?
Yes. You see, the right to bear arms was crafted in a very specific instance to protect the revolutionaries and to protect a nation that could be under siege, because it was such a rich nation with natural resources that you could, England, France, Russia, anything, all those established countries. And the right to bear arms also protects against government. Because, you know, government in that time was designed to do whatever they wanted to do, but governments were still in the embryonic democracy stage. And governments were totalitarian governments then. The king could do what he wants, and so you got to have, you know, protect yourself. But it's evolved, and it should have evolved to a different state of affair, not right to bear arms against your government, which is what the insurrection did. Right to bear arms to protect yourself, you know, from invasion, from people who want to do crimes, to a protection, and also to hunt. Hunting is still a thing that people like, but not to willy-nilly. You could bear an arm in a, you could have an AK-40 on your back and go in a grocery store. No. That's carrying it to the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you said, Ollie, on that, you know, this is an extreme situation where America as a country don't really realize the threat that is created by these groups that promote the freedom to bear an arm in any environment and have it as part of your right to be a citizen. It just ain't, it's gone over the extreme, and I think we need to rein it in. And this last couple of mass killings should give Congress the impetus to do something about that, especially assault weapons, Neville.
Well, so, Congress is, you know, Congress is a big part of the problem, Ronnie. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. I'll give you a perfect example yesterday. This is Ted Cruz. You know, he looks like he's just obsessed with being seen and heard. Even when he does something that ain't looking for attention, and in this case, he's looking for attention. Here is what he said yesterday in the aftermath of what took place on Monday. Quote, every time there is a shooting, we play this ridiculous theater where this committee, and you're talking about the Judiciary Committee, gets together and proposes a bunch of laws that would do nothing to stop these murders. What happens in this committee after every mass shooting is Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens because that's their political objective. Now, Ronnie, you really believe when we had the mass shootings in Atlanta last week, when the young man purchased the weapon the same day and went and killed eight people, most of them of Asian American descent, right? And the shooting Monday in Boulder, that they really cared about Democrats and Republicans, Ronnie?
Exactly.
That a elected official, a U.S. senator from Texas, when we've had 18, 19 losses in two mass shootings over the last week, is making this a Republican versus Democrat thing? When people losing their lives, people's families are destroyed forever because of this situation. Everything for them is the left and the right, the Democrats and the Republicans. No wonder the independents and the no party continues to expand, because the public ain't got time for this partisan politics, Ronnie.
Well, they're out of touch completely.
Yes, sir.
And he should be removed because of his, what I consider, concerted effort to support the insurrection.
Mm-hmm. His role, he and Harley, yes. Josh Harley from Missouri.
You see, they delayed deliberately the counting of that and made it a circus to give the insurrectionists time to do what they did. And people...
Now, as a lawyer, let me ask this question. As a lawyer, what you're suggesting, do you believe that that is over or that is still in
play? No, it can't be over. Enough evidence to show that they are accomplices in this insurrection, and you know, aiding and abetting is a funny thing. You know, you could aid and abet in so many ways. You know, if somebody commit a crime, they got one, and they run by your house, and they hold you up and say you got to put me up. That's a different thing. Someone come in and they don't get you in here. That's a whole different thing. It's tax specific.
You're breaking up there with your phone. Resituate your phone. Okay, there we go.
It's fact specific. But I don't know how they could get away from that. Especially when the one put this up. And especially when Ted Cruz was creating a filibuster and creating a situation which would allow the insurrectionists to proceed, and it stopped the proceeding by the foolishness that he was talking, and all of them that were talking to try to prevent the vote and the counting of the vote. So I don't see how they can get away from it. But you know, in America, in that situation, the judiciary sort of protects these elected officials because they belong to the same party, number one, and they use white privilege. And in this situation, they merge to protect the insurrectionists. But I believe the Attorney General appointed Merrick, and he is going to get to the bottom of it, and it's going to take time because you don't want to make it look like it's partisan Democrat against Republican. You just want to make it look like it's fairness in the judiciary, and fairness means that everybody is subject to the law, and he aided and abetted the insurrection.
Well, you know, when domestic terrorism can take place at your Capitol building, and you have congressmen, congresswomen, and senators attempting to defend that type of behavior, then you know you're in trouble.
Yeah. And they defended Neville, and without any logical, true reasoning, and and not analyzing it according to Neville James' show. Because mm-hmm. Neville analyzed this, you know, analysis takes a good look at both arguments, both sides, and then sift through the facts. And you come to the conclusion that it's easy to know that Trump incited that, and when it started, every Republican that was a Trumpian supported it and aided and abetted. Now, whether or not they are going to go that far, because some of these people were elected, and it's tough to remove an elected person, you know, in a democratic society, because you sort of want to respect the vote. And although the vote may be completely against how you might think, it's a vote nonetheless. So you got to be careful in this environment. But surely they should be sanctioned and should be reprimanded in the institution, which the institution has that power. And then, you know, they may not get criminal charges of aiding and abetting, but we know that the institution could sanction them and put on record exactly what they did. And Stacey Paskey did it when she reprimanded that guy about the black family. That's what they need, somebody who could put them in the place when they're doing that.
Now, don't forget that the irony here is the state in which the most recent mass shooting took place is where Lauren Boebert is from. And all she has been talking about, the congresswoman from Colorado, is guns. Everything for her is guns, and Biden ain't taking away my guns, and I took my guns upstairs and all that stuff. And look at what happened now. And then when she tweeted that she feel for the family, I mean, she got roasted because they know that that's hypocritical, because all she been talking about is her rights to own guns.
Yeah. And then the reality is that they're extremely hypocritical, and the news media seem to be accommodating and apologetic for some of the, especially Fox News, for the ridiculousness of these elected officials. And if it's not for Facebook, and Facebook will pull your coat to things that you are not aware of, and they will state it in a succinct way. And it is a necessary function of our society right now that the internet is the best checks and balances for a lot of things that's happening. And when people, you know, Black Lives Matter, when they were shooting people, black people, and indiscriminately police doing that, Facebook and the internet bring it to the forefront. So we have a sense of checks and balances. The only problem is it seems to be not infiltrating these extremists, and we have to deal with that as a society. We got extremists here in Neville.
Well, that's why I want to bring the conversation too. I know that our demographics are reversed, where we are predominantly a population of color, which is the reverse from a number of these different states that these mass shootings have taken place. But, I mean, we can't ignore that potential. I mean, we've seen it, not in that way, but, I mean, 3 weeks ago we saw mass shootings on a weekend over here on St. Croix. And we're not running from the truth. We're not going to do that here and analyze this, because we talk about facts and data and all that stuff. That's just the facts and the history that we're dealing with. So, what kind of precautionary measures do you suggest that we look at? I mean, you know, we can't ignore the reality is we had a bad 6 to 8 day window here on St. Croix that was totally unheard of. And then early last week, I believe, or early the week before, you had two on St. Thomas, one in housing and one up there in Darity. I mean, Ronnie, the gun proliferation is global. This ain't limited to no particular part of the world.
And we have a complicated situation, because when you factor in the lack of education, the lack of opportunity, and then the lack of rehabilitation in the BOC, and the lack of resources for human resources to deal with some of these issues when young people are, they're set up to behave a certain way. If you see them behaving at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, by the time they reach 15 or 16, you could tell what they're going to do. So we have a complex problem here. But initially, we got to get rid of the guns, Neville.
Yes,
we
sir.
Got to search cars. I'm there. You can't have a blackout driving a car, and you got a guy who ain't got no job, but he driving a Tesla, or he driving an SUV that's very pretty and got mag wheels and that, and a blackout. No, because you as law enforcement have to be able to see, and you as law enforcement have to be able to have access to license plates and these vehicles that drive in our community with blackout. I'm using that as an example. There are other ways, you know, random stopping, and of course cameras. Technology with cameras, now Neville. You could have cameras that are hidden that will let the public know. In Tong, we got cameras all over. You do something wrong in Tong, we're going to get you. That's the kind of, I think, impetus we have to have community-wide. The cameras, the searching, the getting rid of guns. And then, okay, are we doing proper searching with the containers that come in to the territory and illegal stuff is being brought in those containers? I don't know. I don't think we are, but
it doesn't appear that way.
No, because too much guns and these are assault rifles and pow 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 could shoot, you know, and people know that. So we have to be a sort of, as a community, understand that it's a complicated issue, but if we start with small things and try to rid the community of illegal guns and legal guns too. Because, you know, it should be hard for somebody who to bring in a gun and they're not caught, but it's legal. You know, so we're thinking about several aspects in our community that will start the process. But, you know, the education, the resources, the, you know.
Well, one of my listeners sent a text message. And he said, remember, there was a time where President Trump stated, "I love the uneducated," and I remember they were talking about when they were looking at voting profiles as to who was supporting Biden and who was supporting Trump, and they looked at college graduates, uneducated, all that stuff, and the listener said, suggesting that they're gullible and they'll believe anything, and it was a premise of his entire administration, and it's true, and it was also a premise of his re-election campaign. Fortunately, for the people of America, it didn't work. However, the strains of it still exist because we're seeing the irrational behavior that took place last week in Atlanta, and then Monday in Boulder, and then when you have Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin saying he wasn't too worried about the insurrectionists, but if there were Black Lives Matters protesters, he would have been worried. Those are racist statements. And it shows a lack of sensitivity to people in general.
Yeah, and we can't embrace in the Virgin Islands insensitivity to that, the fact that America is going through a significant change, and racism is behind a lot of the inequities in America. What we have to do is make sure that we set up our shop in a different type of situation so that we focus on education. We focus on the things that would make a difference in these young lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go to jail, provide serious incentives for rehabilitation and put in it
anti-recidivism.
Yes,
initiatives
exactly.
And all that stuff. That's good. Yeah. When we come back, we're gonna shift the discussion to Olympics and sports. But we're gonna wrap up this discussion. We're gonna wrap up this discussion when we come back, and then shift to Olympics and sports. We'll be back right after this.
It's a new year, New Year's resolutions, new financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
This is Joan, 65 years young and a proud grandmother. I've been listening to the news and paying attention on how the coronavirus is affecting our islands and families. I just found out the vaccine is here and now available to seniors like me. I called 340-777-8227 and gave the operator some information. She was a real sweetheart. And she gave me an appointment for near my house. My granddaughter, Tara, is taking me this week. So, help me spread the word. Let your folks know signing up for the shot was quick, easy, and it saved lives. Choose to be a part of the solution. Make this your best shot against COVID-19. Get the vaccines.
Presented by the Office of the Governor, FITEMA, and the Department of Health.
And we are back here on Analyze This. And Ronnie, just wanted to crystallize our discussion before we go to the news as it relates to the Olympics.
Yes, please. Hello?
Yeah, here, go ahead. Yeah, we're talking about... Yeah. I didn't want us to just make a complete segue. I want to wrap up what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that the gun problem in the United States is a significant contributor to these mass shootings. And then... when you consider the mindset of some of these people, that they follow the leaders, thinking that specific ethnic groups are their problem because they remove opportunities from them, that's the leaders giving misinformation and false information. And then the third thing is, as a society, we have moved away from values and truth. And President Trump and the Republican Party is fueling that. And so these people are confused, and they do stupid things and with confused mentalities, and it's sending the country in a tailspin. Well, hopefully, Biden has put in place some of the corrective measures that would bring the country out of the tailspin, and Congress would act accordingly now that the mass shootings become clarified. Guns is the problem. So that's all, you know.
Good. And my engineer was just tipping me off to where Evanston, Illinois, approves the country's first reparations program for black residents.
Yes.
That's a huge one. That's a far-reaching move there.
Yeah, it is in line with being fair to ethnic groups that were discriminated for hundreds of years. And It has been cataloged properly, and now they're moving on it. And that move comes because Biden was elected by the black vote. And now he got to recognize what black people been saying for hundreds of years.
A 3% tax on legalized cannabis into assistance for home loans.
Yes.
The Evanston City Council developed plans to direct that kind of revenue to them. And, quote, "We had to do something radically different to address the racial divide that we had in our city, which includes historic oppression, exclusion, and divestment in the black community."
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
And we need to take a page out of what they're doing, because we ain't out of no water. We've been subject to that too here in this territory.
That's right.
Although
that's right.
People like the handouts and people like the thing, but wait, no, it ain't enough.
Not only that,
there is some reparations that we are entitled to
and they
as a territory.
Laws, and we talk about the gasoline excise taxes. They passed that law for us to generate revenue, and you ain't want to give us what is rightfully ours.
Thank you.
We want our money.
Begin there, Neville.
That's a good start. And it's a drop in the bucket what they owe us compared to what they're generating on an annual basis in revenues.
And, you know, so it's a good start, and the Biden administration is off to a wonderful start, and the territory going to benefit because, you know, I was listening to you with Miss Williams, and a lot of money.
Yeah. But I like that conversation because it wasn't planned, and we reached out to her, and she just spoke from a sense of, from a position of knowledge, not a position of preparation. And it's a difference. You check what I'm saying? It's easy to come in and be interviewed on a radio or a media forum if you know that's going to happen and you have time to prepare for it. In that case, when we just made the phone call to follow up on a story I was reading with UVI, and to hear her throwing out the numbers and the plans and understanding all that institutional knowledge, that was a breath of fresh air for me this morning.
Yeah, and I was listening very carefully because we have to embrace our leaders. Although you might not always agree,
correct,
but they're the ones making decisions that affect us directly. And I was encouraged by what she was saying, especially UVI, because I'm an alumni, and I think UVI is a great institution, despite, you know, some of my shortcomings, but I think it's a great institution. And I support it, and, you know, I donate every year. And so then when they're doing something for UVI like that, I feel very, very good. And I hope the community could embrace what UVI meant to this territory over the years. Okay? So we'll move from there. But just say that was a wonderful interview.
I think they got,
and it wasn't planned.
They got 60-year anniversary next year, right? They ain't 62 that they opened?
Yeah.
Yes, I think they got 60-year anniversary next year. So I got to look into that. Let me segue, Ronnie. The Japan has decided no international spectators for the Olympics. The International Olympic Committee has bought into that. Of course, you know, we got a soccer game here on Saturday, qualifying for the World Cup, the CONCACAF a game against, I believe, Antigua and Barbuda. And even there, you have to be vaccinated to go there. This thing is real, you know. This ain't no. We're going to vaccinate everybody and COVID is going to go away. We got to factor in this dynamic in practically everything we do for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. And we have to be very careful that we don't regress, because some of them states in the U.S., I don't know what they're doing. I can't tell you the truth.
That's the left and right. That's the left and right mentality.
That's what they foolishness.
Yeah, man. And people's lives don't have value. You know, DeSantis and Abbott and all of them. I mean, I don't want to be picking them because, let's face it, you know, Cuomo got his issues, and other Democratic governors have their Gavin Newsom in California. He has his issues that they're looking at a recall or being asked to resign initiative, stuff like that. But this left and right thing, they're turning people off, man.
Yep. And more importantly, Neville, it's affecting the recovery of the nation regarding COVID. We got to be careful. People from Texas and Florida visit here every week, every day. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to institute the CDC guidelines. Come on, man. That's some crazy stuff. But we got to be careful because we are a tourist destination. And tourism come from all over the U.S. And you know they come in here now. Because our numbers are really good.
What are typically our slow months of June, July, and August? They could be peak months this year. Because when you look at the timing, if you continue to see the numbers going down, come summertime, people are going to be more comfortable and willing to travel then, and they got to get away. And they're going to be looking at the Virgin Islands and other parts, and Puerto Rico, and Vegas and Culebra, because they want to get away.
And what is a better getaway than going on a beach and not socially not worrying about social distancing, yeah. You know what? Yeah. And thing, you know, and you would. Yeah. And this here has the environment. I just hope that, yeah,
but,
you know.
But see, Ronnie, everything is so integrated. You look at what you just suggested, going on the beach, where you're out in the elements, you're not worried about the being confined to a particular area where social distancing would have an effect. But you need public safety, Ronnie. People need to know they're going to be safe when they go in these in these areas. Yeah. I mean, so everything is integrated.
Yep, integrated to the T. And we have to be careful because we can't allow crime to thus destroy our economic well-being. And they're close, you know, it's close. But I think a consolidated effort will get it under control. It's very sad what has happened over the last month here in the Virgin Islands and in the States.
Let me ask this question. 2021 is the Olympic year. Typically, 2021 is the year where everything winds down before you restart the cycle with the Central American and Caribbean Games in year 2, Pan American Games in year 3, and the Olympics in year 4. So let me ask this question. Now that we are having the Olympics in what is typically year 1 of the cycle, will the Central American and Caribbean Games and Pan Am Games and then Olympic Games continue as the norm, as expected, in 2022, 2023, and 2024, respectively, or are they looking at some modification?
I think they're looking at a huge modification because these competitions need to happen. They're part of the hemispheric competition that leads up to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You might just have to adjust the dates and have them so that in the Olympic year, which is supposed to be 2024, you could have the Olympics as scheduled and you go back to a schedule that could work for all regions. So you might have to have Pan Am Games and a CAC Games closer together than what is the normal cycle. And I believe, so the Olympics happen this year, the Caribbean region and Central American will have to find out a conducive time to host the CAC Games and may have to host a Pan Am Games the same year, but different, you know, at different time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to adjust because you can't do without these games. That I don't see how the whole world will do all these regional games because, you know, CAC Games allows countries to send teams in. They won't be able to allow, they won't make the team cut for the Pan Am Games or the Olympics, but they send a team to the CAC Games.
That's important. That's actually of greater importance than the Olympics because it's easier for them to medal and be successful in a regional games than it would be in a global arena.
Exactly. And so they're very important because then the countries get to have full participation of the athletic program in a regional games against countries that they feel that, you know, they could compete against. The Virgin Islands is a great example. When the CAC Games, when we had softball big here, it changed, you know, softball changed, but softball was a big thing in the Virgin Islands and in the BVI, and it was a big competition. I went to many other softball games and basketball, and, you know, basketball, you know, and we should talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But softball, baseball, these things, sports is part of our cultural heritage. We develop athletes in these team sports, and our athletes are great. And we actually have
won many a gold medal in Central American and Caribbean games.
Yes. In track, in all the team sports, and sailing, everything. And we have
Shelley Kramer them and Peter Holden and all them, and Ronald Charles actually set the Central American Caribbean games for most points. I think he scored 61 points in a game done in Colombia back in the '70s.
Yes. And so we have a legacy for this region to continue. They have to adjust. And I hope the only problem, Neville, is how well we get this COVID pandemic under control in some of these other countries. Let's assume that we're on track to get it under control by the end of the year in the United States.
Yeah, 2021 is absolutely critical as it relates to the Olympic Olympic cycle. Now, I got the dates here for you. Thank you for talking while I could do the research, right?
Yes.
Central American and Caribbean Games slated for July 2022, Panama City. Yes. Right? So check this out now, Ronnie, right? Right? That's the Central American and Caribbean Games, right?
Right.
The Pan Am Games are slated, not only are they for 2023, Ronnie, but it's 15 to 16 months later because it's done in Santiago, Chile. So it got to be later in the year because remember they're in the Southern Hemisphere and their weather cycle is opposite from ours. So that's the reason why it's late. And then you got the Olympics in Paris 10 months later in July in 2024. So there really has to be some type of modification because you need proper spacing and then you need proper preparation time.
Yes, and the key is going to be how the rest of the globe will.
Yeah, because you got the Commonwealth Games for certain parts of the, and then you got the other side of the world, the Pan Asian or something Asian Games.
So
you're right.
And then Africa, they own too.
Correct, Africa got it. That's right. Yeah,
the African Games. Now look what has happened. Okay, and the pandemic forces us to adjust. But in reality, it might help. And I took the vaccine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I did the science behind of it because that's how I approach these things.
You are chemistry major and a PPP.
Yeah. So I went deep into the science, okay? And I really, humanity has progressed to a point where the science behind this, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, is phenomenal. And I think humanity rose to the occasion, and these scientists have risen to a different level of protection for the humanity. Because this vaccine technology is, I think, going to be revolutionary regarding all disease. And I that's what some people project.
Ronnie, if you the way I see it, right? We have we are now into a window of our existence on the science side where vaccines are going to be very, very popular going forward. Not just COVID-19 vaccines. Because remember now, we got to be looking at what could be the next potential virus. And we have you know what this really forces us to do? We have to manage our monies better and make these contributions, these major boosters who put these millions and billions of dollars into science. We got to make those dollars count. You know, this thing about, you know, just these people, these shysters out there just looking for titles and ways to scam money from people, them days done. We got exposed.
Yep.
When smaller countries managed the pandemic better than we did, we were exposed. And we were like, what is that, Nero without the clothes? Pompey, whatever it was. Yeah, man, I'm telling you. And now we got to deliver. Ronnie, great discussion here. Touch on a number of different things. Everything is integrated, though. That's the one thing we noticed in our conversation we had here for the last hour. We got to be that way. Thank you very much for being a regular contributor. We go get Rocky and Cole. And we're still working on that
tree. But you know something, Neville? The value of communication.
Yes, sir.
That's what you highlight. And communication is the key to success in a democratic society.
On every level.
Because you can learn from everybody.
On every level. Thanks a lot, Ronnie. Great show today. Thank you very much, Adrian Williams and Dwayne Henry as well. Be back tomorrow. Be good and be safe.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.